Dilly dindly dong, come on!
I don't believe it! You missed that! You're having a laugh!
Miller, lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! You beauty! What a headshot! What a hit!
Remember the name, Wayne Rooney.
It's Torres.
It is now.
All right, guys, welcome to a new football podcast. I know we're a little bit late into the football season, but this is Talk from the Terraces from myself, Adam, and from Kyle, who is joining me. We're both Nottingham Forest fans, but we are here to talk not just Nottingham Forest, but other football from the Premier League to the FA Cup, the World Cup. And just general football that we see from around the world. Say hello, Kyle.
Hi there. How are you doing? Hi, guys. So obviously, like Adam mentioned then, we're going to be talking about pretty much everything in the world of football. We're very much off the cuff. It's going to be quite raw. I'll probably go off that. But yeah, we're just avid Forest supporters, I guess. But we're also football fans, so we're going to be here to talk about anything. So obviously, in this past weekend, it's been the FA Cup. Obviously, coming up this weekend, we'll obviously go back to the Premier League, EFL Cup during this week. So we've got a lot to talk about. Okay, so Adam, let's talk FA Cup.
Yeah, FA Cup is always a bit of an interesting one. It's kind of like a break from the league, and especially like, I know we're not going to talk about Forest too much, but it was a welcome break for us and probably quite a few clubs who are struggling down at the bottom of the league perhaps, but
that's right.
The FA Cup is really losing its passion. Like, I literally don't care about the FA Cup anymore.
Yeah, agreed really. I think it's more of a thing for the smaller clubs, especially the teams maybe League Two and below, teams like Lincoln, for example, Sutton, who are still in the cup, Stourbridge are another team. You know, these types of clubs need the gate money and the tournament money, I think. Whereas the other teams that are in the bigger leagues, such as, you know, your championships, or the teams like Newcastle, Brighton, all these teams that are just not really performing in the FA Cup, for example, and obviously they may have gone through, but I can't remember, to be honest. But these types of teams, they're just not putting first team sides out, are they?
No, it's a bit of a shame because, like, especially like Premier League sides who haven't maybe won a trophy for quite a while, it's a really good opportunity to win something. But half the time, they still don't even bother. I mean, Bournemouth put out a second-rate team and got beat comfortably by Millwall 3-0. And you'd think a team like Bournemouth, it's a good opportunity to get far in that competition and maybe even qualify for Europe through the FA Cup. No. And it's just a bit astounding how clubs take it so lightly these days. It's a bit appalling, really, because everyone used to dream of playing in the FA Cup and then getting to Wembley, obviously, Wembley being the massive ultimate prize of the FA Cup. But now even that doesn't really seem that to be that bothered about it. And I think it's generally down to football money.
Yeah.
I think, like, clubs in the Premier League have got too much money. So it's like pocket money for them.
That's it. I also think another thing maybe to do with the FA Cup, since 2006, so since New Wembley, it's been a bit of a to-do with the semi-finals being played there as well, do you not think?
Yeah, it is rubbish.
Excuse me.
Like, if you get to the semi-final, then you've already played at the final venue. So
yeah,
it's like there's no incentive.
Exactly.
I did prefer it when they played at neutral grounds, like when they played at like Villa and then they played maybe at Old Trafford or somewhere like that, like, and they played at neutral grounds. I think that was a bit better than playing at Wembley. And I think it's maybe because of the FA need to recoup that money from building the stadium more so than
that's it.
Occasion.
Yeah. Also, obviously, mentioning New Wembley, I know we're going off on a bit of a tangent, but same again with, you know, England, the England setup and things. It used to be amazing when they used to play it like Old Trafford, or you maybe go up to like maybe even played at Villa Park or St James's or something like that, like going around the country, given the you know, the areas in the north for things, a bit of a chance. But now it seems as if money is completely irrelevant. Obviously, going back into the FA Cup, for example, you know, where is the incentive, you know, for these big teams to go out and win the cup now?
Yeah, it's tricky. Like I said, it's surprising that how many big clubs take it so lightly, because it is an opportunity to win a competition and qualify for Europe, especially if you're a mid-table sort of team. It's just very surprising that they do that, really.
That's right. You know, I'm actually genuinely surprised that, like you said, Bournemouth, you know, like you mentioned before, you know, even teams like Everton, Leicester, obviously Leicester beat them on the weekend. You know, these types of teams should be going all out, you know, in a way. And you can sort of understand the top four teams not really caring as much because they've got other priorities, I guess. But 10 years ago, it was complete opposite. It used to be FA Cup, you know, and league, really. They used to be quite combined. If you won the FA Cup, you were deemed probably the second best team in the country, right?
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with that. I mean, like, it's astounding because it's a good chance to obviously win a double or even a treble if you're going for like Champions League or whatever, but like it's gone out of the window now. It's very unusual to see teams win the FA Cup and win the league too. I think Chelsea might have been the last team to potentially do it under Mourinho. Mourinho seems to go for the cups as well. So obviously United started off really strongly, and so did Man City with Guardiola.
Yeah. Obviously, talking about, you know, the fourth round and things like that, is there any ties in particular or any teams in particular you think that obviously now they've got past that third round sort of hump, maybe go on to win it? You know, is there any teams that stand out for you?
You've got to say obviously the bigger teams though, like Arsenal, City, United, Tottenham, aren't they? I think Liverpool ended up actually drawing to Plymouth because they changed like the old side, which is surprising as well. I thought Liverpool might be a team, they're not in the Champions League or anything, so I thought it'd have been a competition they go for, really.
Yeah, that's right. For me, you know, obviously, if Liverpool get through against Plymouth, which is obviously quite a tough tie, Plymouth are doing all right in League Two, if I'm not, you know, being mistaken there. And they've got some good players as well, which a little bit of a fact for you here, Adam. Plymouth are the only team in the country, I think, to not spend a penny on their starting 11.
That's incredible.
Yeah, they didn't spend a pound.
Fair play to them. Like, that's right. Good wheeler dealing.
Yeah, that's a start of the day for you. Yeah, I bet you learned something new today, eh? Right.
I definitely have.
But yeah, going back to it, I think if Liverpool get through, I reckon they win it. I don't know why, I just have a bit of a feeling Liverpool will do something this year. If not, the EFL Cup. You know, it might even be United Liverpool final there. You never know.
That'd be a good final.
No, 100%. moving on. Obviously, now we're talking about the EFL Cup. May as well talk about it as we sort of record it. United and Hull, I think they've just kicked off. So we may as well talk about the two ties. So obviously, you got United Hull tonight, and then tomorrow you got Southampton Liverpool, and you got the first legs there. What's happening? What do you reckon?
If you're going off by paper, United stuff Hull over two legs. But it's a cup game at the end of the day. Hull got a new manager recently, haven't they? Sack Phelan, they got in Marco Silva.
Yeah.
And he started off pretty well, so...
Who knows? Yeah. We've got Southampton, we've got Liverpool. Again, I've just obviously said, you know, I think Liverpool will do something this season. I do think it will be a very tough game tomorrow for them. I might even go as far to say that Southampton might actually win that one. There always seems to be good games down there at St Mary's, so who knows?
Well, it's like Liverpool's B side against Liverpool's A team, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It's ridiculous, isn't it? The amount of players that go between those two clubs in the last couple of years.
What are your thoughts on it, though? Man United, Hull, as well as Liverpool, you think, obviously, might do something.
I think Liverpool might do something. However, yeah, in the first one we mentioned, United, Hull, I can't really go past United there. You know, obviously, if Hull have two storming games, which they just don't seem to have at the minute in them, then obviously, who knows? But I just think United have got too much. You know, they've got millions of pounds of talent. They could play a second team, and they've got that much depth. You've got Depay on the bench. I'm not saying he's brilliant, but you've got that kind of player on the bench. Rooney can do a job up top if you're resting Ibra. You've got Schneiderlin, who never seems to get a game. You've got Smalling, who's not in the team. They've got so many good players. You just can't see them not doing something in all the cups this year, or both the cups, and then even in the league. Moving on to Southampton and Liverpool. Yeah, I think, again, going back to it, I think the first game would be tough, but I do think Liverpool will get through. I reckon 3-2 an aggregate for a prediction.
Oh, decent. Just like talking about United as a whole, because obviously they spent a lot of money, especially on one player, Paul Pogba, who everyone is going on about. I mean, I've been interested with United because I quite like them. I used to watch them quite a bit when I was younger, but it's incredible that players like Matteo Darmian is playing left back instead of Luke Shaw, and Antonio Valencia is playing at right back, and then Rojo and Jones are the centre-half pairing. It's actually like quite incredible that what Mourinho is doing with that team, because that back four is so unconventional. It's unbelievable. It's like they've just like plucked names out of a hat.
Yeah, no, that's right. It seems as if that, like, if I say, for example, you were playing, I don't know, Football Manager or something like that, like that, those four players would probably be my reserve players, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't really rate Darmian that much. However, why is he playing Antonio Valencia right back? It seems a bit of a strange one. However, he seems to do all right there. He did it as well when he was under Alex Ferguson too. So obviously he can play in that position. Obviously on the left, you know, Luke Shaw, since he's come back for his injury, has it really been any good? I don't think so. But obviously it takes a little, you know, he's been out for God knows how long. It was about a year, wasn't it? So
yeah, for sure. As well, like with Jones, it just seems like his injuries have all suddenly disappeared, and he's become like the player that he should have been when Ferguson first signed him, because he was just injured. And then when he did play, he was just mistakes. And now it just seems like he's a top centre-half in the Premier League.
That's it, yeah. That seems to happen with quite a lot of players. They seem to all of a sudden just have this good 6 months or 12 months, and then all of a sudden they're in contention for the England position, or, you know... Who else can I sort of mention? I think Curtis Davis a couple of seasons ago, he was having a bit of a worldie. Obviously, he's at Hull, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, let's get him in the England team. But do you think Phil Jones is kind of an England player? Do you think he's that good?
I'm not sure, you know, because England are going through a bit of a patch with defenders, I think, at the moment. I think, like, John Terry was your last all-out... proper centre-half, like, just put his body on the line, clear the ball, not really do anything too fancy. And now it seems like England are getting an influx of ball-playing centre-halves. And England aren't just that... They're not that team. They're not like Spain or Brazil or a Germany or whatever, where they have those type of players playing throughout their division. England don't really have that. And the majority of England players that are coming through are ball-playing midfield... Like, defenders, sorry. And it is good to have that, because obviously... Bobby Moore was like the best one at it. I know I never watched him play or anything, but when you see videos of him, he's that type of player. But
no, that's it.
England are lacking all-out proper centre-halves, and I think England fans would prefer to have that than someone like John Stones or Phil Jones playing for him, who would just tend to go out and dribble, because more so than not, they'll lose the ball.
No, that's it. Do you think maybe the most similar type player to John Terry is probably the same player that, you know, maybe Gary Cahill, that kind of player?
Yeah, think he's quite similar? I would definitely say so, yeah. Cahill, I mean, I don't know really who else I could pick out that's English and is like that type of player, other than maybe like Michael Dawson about 3 years ago, but I even think Dawson's probably out of it now. There is really like a very minimal amount of proper centre-halves throughout the Premier League, if I'm honest. I think there's very few.
That's it, yeah. I mean, to maybe name a couple, I'd probably say Smalling's kind of a no-nonsense kind of player.
Maybe.
Because he's not very good with his feet. He just doesn't look like a footballer. I don't know about you. He's no good. moving on. Obviously we're in January, so that means the January transfer window. any
important month.
Yeah, it is very important for some clubs. For others, less so. You probably won't even hear some teams. West Ham seem to be very busy at the moment.
Yeah, I heard you mention Payet. Payet's obviously going to be a player linked away all the time because he had an amazing World Cup.
That's
not the Euro, not World Cup, Euro 2016, sorry. Absolutely wrong.
yeah.
And I was surprised that West Ham kept hold of him, but I'm surprised how badly West Ham are doing this season as well. So
yeah, they're struggling a lot. And, you know, has Payet been really that kind of player? You know, has he been that good this season? Again, you know, he had a couple of good games earlier on in the season. I think it was around October time, he had a really amazing goal. After that, I've not really heard of him. He doesn't seem to be in the team a lot. He just doesn't seem to be performing.
I'm not sure if his head's in the game, really.
No.
With Dimitri Payet. But I think like West Ham are just overall underachieving again this season, which is a shame because I thought, I like West Ham. I like Bilic. It seems like it's like new stadium syndrome almost because they've took the intimidation out of what Upton Park is meant to be. And they've just like put it into this stadium where they've just like literally got the job done as soon as possible. But all the fans are like so far away from the pitch; it's unbelievable.
Yeah, even the cameras, like it seems like you're a million miles away. It's almost like Juventus' old ground. We used to play at that like Olympic looking ground. I can't remember what it was called. Like, was it Dele Alli? No, it wasn't Dele Alli. Stade. Like, it was something similar to that. I can't remember what it was called, but that was very similar in terms of you know how it looked. However, in it, you know, Italian football, the ultras and things are a little different, and the atmosphere is completely different and things. So I just don't think it works for West Ham. If you know, I was thinking maybe the other day. The end of the season, maybe they just move some, have some portable seats and just like, you know, move it a little bit further forward because it almost seems as if the fans are watching from afar.
Yeah, I think you need a pair of binoculars if you're sitting like right at the back to watch West Ham this season, which is something that I would hate to happen to my club, or our club, should I say. But like, it's just like, it just takes it away from the fact that you should be close to the pitch because you want to intimidate the opposition and almost give your team an advantage. And now that taking that away, it seems like teams are going to West Ham United and not really struggling that much because they're not intimidated anymore because the fans aren't there blaring in their ear that they're an arsehole or whatever.
That's it, yeah. to put it bluntly. Obviously, you know, going on to them and obviously not really being performing this season, they may be looking to get rid of Payet, or maybe he's looking to leave or move on. Maybe he's been linked with Marseille. I think that was the main club.
To go back
to where he sort of came from. That sounds a bit horrible, but it seems as if he's going to be going back there. Maybe at the end of the season, if not in January. But players coming in. Scott Hogan from Brentford, who
really good player. Yeah. I rate him very highly. I don't know how much you know about him, but like before he went to Brentford for Rochdale, he was banging in goals, and I was thinking he's a good little player. And then he got injured, I think, when he went to Brentford for the first few months.
Yeah,
and then come back at the end of last season and was banging in goals, and now he's just carried that on sort of thing this season.
No, that's it. He's like I said. Brentford are sort of team that, you know, they're a well-established championship club all of a sudden, and they seem to have quite a lot of talent at that team. But, you know, if you were to put a price tag on him, how much would you say?
It's weird because the championship, like, now because everyone knows how much money the Premier League has, it's just inflated prices of players. So, like, Andre Gray obviously went for 9 million in the championship last season to Burnley. So Brentford obviously got to look at that and go, well, Andre Gray left us for 9 million. We've replaced him with Scott Hogan. Surely he's worth 9 million or so as well.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a funny one with football now because the money is ridiculous. It's just like everyone's price doubles.
That's it. Yeah, especially in January as well. And I think for teams that are sort of not down there as such, because West Ham aren't in the relegation battle, but they are struggling. They apparently have put in a 15 million bid for him. So, you know, that's sky high, isn't it, for a player?
I mean, because Brentford they're a small club, but they're very well organised. I don't know if you know about this, but if you watch a video on Copper 90, there's a video on them about their owner owns Brentford and Midtjylland, and he's a gambler. But it's all on stats. And that's how they recruit players as well. So Andre Gray was recruited on stats, and so was Scott Hogan, I believe. And a couple of other players were based on like stats. It's a bit like the Moneyball situation, if you've ever seen that film as well.
Wow, that's ridiculous. Wow, so, didn't know that.
So Brentford are recruiting very, very cleverly, and obviously making massive profit on a lot of these players by selling them for good fees. But it would be hard for Brentford to turn that money down, but it'd also be... It'd be hard because they need to replace him if they are going to sell him. But £15 million is a lot of money in the Championship, and it'd be hard to turn down.
No, that's it. £15 million, you can get some quality players, especially the Championship type players as well. So, you were going to say?
It's like, it just shocked me like last season. I know that we're going back to Forest, but like we sold Antonio for £7 million. And all of a sudden he's linked to Chelsea and a couple of other big clubs. And it makes me think, like, why didn't we sell him for way more and also put like a sell on fee? I mean, Brentford could easily do that with Scott Hogan.
No, 100%.
If he does well at West Ham, he could go to whoever. You don't know the heights of some players. It's just one of those things, isn't it?
No, that's it. A little thing on Andre Gray, obviously you touched on him before. He was playing non-league football for, I think it was, well, he played for Luton, definitely, but before that, I'm trying to think of the team. But he's playing, Northern Premier and all sorts before he moved on to the Premier League, and now he's scoring hat-tricks. It's ridiculous. and probably to say now, if he has a good season, he could potentially be in a top four team. Probably Liverpool were going for him or something like that. It's ridiculous.
You never know. With regards to the transfer window, do you think there will be any big moves?
Big moves wise, I'm not too sure because obviously, like I said, the big teams, like United, like City and things like that, they're not really going to spend 50, 60 million on a player halfway through the season, and nor is that big player going to leave another big club halfway through the season unless it's like a Mahrez that are struggling at Leicester, that type of team. But there are rumours about Coutinho potentially going to Real Madrid or maybe Barcelona, but I can't see it happening, to be honest. Not now. The end of the season, who knows? Obviously, big transfers always happen in the summer, but when was the last really big transfer? It was probably Torres 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say Torres, and then he flopped.
Exactly. He didn't turn out to be any good for Chelsea, really. I mean, his goal score record wasn't bad, but he was never the same player. Other than that, I can't think. Who would you say? Is there any players that you can think of?
No, I've heard a lot of what United want to do. They want to bring in a couple of defenders, a guy called Lindelof from Benfica, I believe, and like quite big money for January. Wow. Quite big money for a defender, because, they bought Bailly in the summer, didn't they? And he's had a few injury problems, and he's a good defender when I've watched him. But I can't really think of anyone else making big moves. I think Schneiderlin's probably moved with a link away to go to like West Brom or Everton or one of those two clubs, I think.
That would be a good move, I think, for Schneiderlin. He doesn't seem to get a look in, and it's, he'd get into most teams, I think, in the Premier League. No. Maybe outside the top four, he's probably a starting holding midfielder for me.
If you would say out of the top four being, Unite, I think... No, United are just outside of it. But so, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, and City. Who would you say Who would you say needs to make a big signing, and in what position? And who would you go for?
Who would I think? Wow. So who are the teams just outside the top four? You've got Spurs. You've got.
No, Spurs are in the top.
Spurs are flying. Who are just outside the top four then?
United are.
United. I think
United are lingering.
Yeah, I think. But even with United, like I mentioned before, they've got so much depth. I just couldn't see them buying anyone. Obviously the link with centre halves and things like that. Like Manolas, I think it is, from Roma. Done with him.
Arsenal are fifth, but it's very tight at the moment.
You can just guarantee Arsenal finish fourth. You just know it. Again, Arsenal squad, they always have a strong squad. I've always said they need a centre half and a striker. I say it every season, and they never seem to buy anyone.
Well, I thought Mustafi was a really good buy.
Yeah,
I like him. I think striker is where Arsenal have really struggled, and then they've started to play Giroud, and he started to score quite a few goals. It's just Arsenal always struggle against the littler sides. I mean, I watched them against Bournemouth, and they got absolutely torn apart. And then as soon as they scored the goal, I think Sanchez scored the goal, it would just suddenly like turn the tables. And as an Arsenal fan, and even as Arsene Wenger, you must be so frustrated that your team can make that sort of comeback, but not start in that same way. And Arsenal fans should have won the league last season. Arsenal or Spurs should have won it. It was a perfect opportunity for either of them to win it.
Yeah.
But Leicester just were so consistent. It was unbelievable. And all the big teams just seemed to slip up so much. And now you look at Leicester now, they're in a position where they should actually be, which is like just above relegation.
Yeah, obviously no offence to Leicester fans, but they're not a Premier League winning side. And, you know, even though they've had a good Champions League run this year, you know, if they win the Champions League, then it's just an absolute farce, isn't it, really? But
Yeah,
I mean, if anyone has had the top four, I can't see it happening. I can't see any massive signings or anything like that. But yeah, to name the top four this season, I do think it's going to be out of Chelsea and City to win the league. And you can always guarantee Arsenal finishing the top four. So it's going to be out of Liverpool, United and Spurs for that, you know, elusive fourth place or third place. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you. But I mean, like, between United and Chelsea now, it's 10 points. And everyone else, like Arsenal 41, City 42, Spurs 42, Liverpool 44. It's a really tight season at the moment. But Chelsea are flying, like literally are flying. And they look incredible this season under Conte. And I really like him, actually. He's a very passionate manager. And he's got people playing in like very unusual positions. I mean, that's Philip Quaytor is probably one of the best fullbacks in the league, and he's playing as a centre half, and he's unbelievable at centre half. But I mean, it's good to see people like Victor Moses, who's got a chance now at Chelsea because he got loaned out a lot, and he's playing well. And I mean, they bought in Marcus Alonso, who's playing for Bolton Wanderers about four seasons ago. I'm pretty sure.
No, he was played for Fiorentina, I think, after that as well.
Really, that's incredible.
I think so. Yeah, don't quote
absolute,
me on it.
Absolute journey.
journeyman, as they say. I think Chelsea's team, they've got a really strong squad, as always. You can never count out City, especially with the amount of money they've spent in the last 4 or 5 years. And you never know, do you? You know, that you said there's 10 points between Chelsea and United. United make a late run. They seem to be the team in form at the minute. No one seems to be able to beat them.
They've won 6 games in a row, which is...
That's it. You know, they've got the big game coming up on the weekend against Liverpool. Which, you know, not going to say it's a title decider. However, it could be whoever wins that game might move on to sort of bigger things, or maybe
it's going to be a big momentum changer, I'd have thought. But Liverpool are unbeaten in the last 6 games as well, and obviously the previous fixture at Anfield was so boring. I think I remember watching it and just thinking, this is absolute garbage.
Yeah.
From both, like not from Liverpool. Liverpool tried to go forward, if I remember correctly, but United just parked the bus, really. It was like they put like 9 players behind the ball and then like sort of hoped Pogba and Ibrahimovic would do something out of nothing. But I remember slating Ibrahimovic for the entire game. I thought he was shocking during that game.
Yeah,
and I was like, and it was when he was going through a bit of a drought, and I thought he's not going to score more than now. I mean, if he scored now I'm really eating my words. He's scored nearly 20 goals this season, which is incredible.
Yeah,
Liverpool, I think, if they beat United, that'll be a massive boost for them. It'll be interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree 100%. That game in, when was it, earlier this season? It was like October time, was it? About,
yeah, it was shocking.
It was awful. I think there was about 2 chances all game. I think Coutinho had an absolute worldie of a strike, and De Gea seems to get like just got a claw to it somehow. And then I think Ibra missed an open goal or missed an absolute sitter. From across, but that was all that happened in that game. Obviously, in the return fixture, Liverpool are away from home. They like to press. You know, are they going to come there, you know, come to Old Trafford and just sit there, or are they going to go at them and, you know, do what they did maybe, I think it was about 3 years ago when Suarez was there and just absolutely tore them apart?
It could go either way, really, because obviously Klopp likes to play that way, doesn't he? He's got players to do it, obviously, with like Lallana, Mane, Coutinho, Firmino. Origi. I mean, Sturridge is not that sort of player, so it'd be interesting to see if Sturridge will play in that game. I'm interested to see if Sturridge stays at the end of the summer, to be perfectly honest. He's a very good footballer, but he's not a club player.
No, he isn't. But where does he go? It's like a Joe Hart sort of situation where, you know, he's been loaned out obviously to Torino, but when he comes back, you know, what kind of club is he going to go to? Does he go to like an Everton type of team? You know, where does he go from here? Because, you know, same with Sturridge. You know, if he was to say, right, okay, Sturridge is leaving, or you were the manager now and you said, right, Sturridge is leaving, where does Sturridge go? You know, what kind of team does he go to?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because a lot of teams are adapting this way of pressing high and working hard. Sturridge is not that sort of player. He is an out-and-out sort of centre-forward or a false nine, if you will, because he does drop deep. I think, like, it's a weird one, but I'd even say sort of like City. He might suit Man City quite a lot because they kind of interchange quite a lot, and Aguero is a bit like that, but Aguero is miles better than Daniel Sturridge. But it sounds weird. Him returning to City probably wouldn't be that bad. Yeah. Or even Arsenal, who need a striker. But
no, I was just saying, maybe Arsenal would be the team. However, the Liverpool fell to a rival. You know, obviously, Arsenal have made that mistake in recent years, haven't they, with Van Persie. Obviously, you know, we're talking about the weekend fixtures. There's quite a few on. I think there's all 10 teams playing on Saturday or Sunday, which is the first. you've got Spurs, you've got West Brom, which is a Saturday lunchtime kickoff. Can you see Spurs really getting into them here, or do you think West Brom will hold them out?
It's another interesting fixture. I think Spurs are a team that are playing really well as well. Ali and Kane have started to hit form again, especially Dele Alli. I thought he was quite poor for the first half of the season, and now suddenly he's banging in goals. What has he got, like 8 in his last 4 games or something ridiculous?
Yeah, he's on a right turn of form at the minute. he'll be a top quality player, I think, when it's all said and done. I think he'll be, you know, one of the world's sort of not greatest, but he'll be one of England's best ever, I think. He's got that talent.
And then I think with West Brom it's an interesting one because Pulis is a very organised sort of guy, isn't he? Gets his teams he plays to their strengths.
That's
like
it.
To say.
And they're having a really good year as well, aren't they, West Brom?
Very
good
season.
They're, I think,
West
they're eighth or something like that at the minute. You know what? They're not even far outside the Europa League, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, West Brom, again, would they be a type of, you know, we're like talking about the transfers. Do you think West Brom maybe go out and get someone?
I think they need another striker maybe to play alongside Rondon, because they don't seem to be playing Berahino anymore, because I think Berahino is a bit like Sturridge in the way that he's quite lazy and thinks a lot of himself, I'd have thought, instead of just getting on with the football. I mean, he's taking something we would dream to do for granted, in my honest opinion. And Berahino is someone I'd have shipped out ages ago if I was the manager. I'm surprised Pulis didn't get rid of him to Spurs when he was getting offered, what, 20 mil plus for him. I mean, I don't think he's worth 20 million plus, so I would have snapped his hand off for it.
No, obviously he was in good form then, wasn't he? I can't remember what his sort of goal tally was, but he was on quite a few goals. But no, he wasn't worth 20 million, no way. Moving on, we got Burnley, Southampton, Hull City, Bournemouth, Sunderland, Stoke, Swansea, Arsenal, Watford, Middlesbrough, West Ham, Palace and Leicester, Chelsea. That's all on the Saturday. On the Sunday, you've got the two fixtures. You've got City away at Everton, and you've got United, Liverpool, obviously. Is there any other fixtures there? Obviously, I've read out quite a lot. Any other fixtures there in particular you think, oh my God, that's going to be a tasty one?
No, not really. They're all like quite standard fixtures, aren't they? I mean, I think the important fixtures for some teams is obviously Hull are at home to Bournemouth, so, and that's Marco Silva's first league game.
Yeah,
it's important that he continues that good start he got in the FA Cup against Bournemouth, who are a side that are capable of turning you over, but they're also a side capable of absolutely collapsing like they did against Arsenal. And Nathan Ake is returned from Bournemouth to Chelsea, and he was a quite important player, so to lose him is going to be a change for Bournemouth and how they play, because Ake is a decent young player, to be fair. So an interesting one for Hull, because obviously they're in that relegation fight, and obviously Sunderland at home to Stoke. And again, Stoke are another really good team. I mean, they're a team made up of a lot of European experienced players. Like, when they signed Shaqiri, I was gobsmacked a few years ago. But Sunderland, it's important for them to get the points, obviously, being at the bottom of the table. I'm not sure what you think, mate.
I think maybe on the Sunday, obviously it's what they call the Super Sunday, isn't it, on TV?
Yeah.
Everton City, I think that'll be a really good game, you know.
Usually it is quite between them.
Yeah,
to be fair.
It's quite. I'm just looking obviously at the fixtures, and I think bloody hell, like, you know, this United Liverpool, and then Everton Man City. It's like a Liverpool Manchester double, isn't it? In a way,
it is obviously. Merseyside v Manchester.
Yeah, it's crazy. So. Yeah, I think Everton City would be the one to look out for me, other than the big game at 4 o'clock.
Out of these weekend fixtures, which one do you think? Where do you think there'll be a shock result?
Shock result. You know what? I think Middlesbrough might get some at Watford. I think they might do in there. Maybe not a shock result, but I think Middlesbrough are just one of those sort of teams that just come out of nowhere and just bag four or something like that. Like,
you know. could be.
Anyway, should we talk Championship?
I don't want to.
I don't really want to, but we'll touch on it. Obviously, it's always an entertaining league.
I think I've said this quite a few times on my YouTube videos. It is the best league outside of the elite leagues.
100%. By far. By an absolute country mile.
There's no second division anywhere in the world that is as competitive.
No, that's right. You know, you've at the top of the table, you've got a pretty intriguing race between Brighton and Newcastle. And I hope Brighton do it, you know. Not because I don't like Newcastle, but I think Brighton, they're just one of those teams that you just want to see do well.
Just to upset the apple cart a little bit as well, I think.
Exactly. Just a new team as well in the Premier League. You know, you just want to see... You want to see fresh blood, don't you, sometimes?
But also just because, despite Newcastle, because they spent about, 50 million on players. I know they recouped quite a lot of it from Mohamed Sissoko, but if you're spending that much in the Championship and you don't win the division, it's embarrassing.
No, 100%. you know, obviously, that sort of top six sort of berth, you know, you've got just outside it, or, I'll read the top 10 for you. You've got Brighton at the top, you've got Newcastle, Reading, which are a little bit further down on 46, Huddersfield on 46, Leeds on 45, Sheffield Wednesday on 42, Derby on 40, Barnsley on 38, bloody hell, wow. Norwich on 37, and then in 10th we've got Fulham. It's very, very tight up there. Even further down than that, you've got Villa in 12th, and I would have said Villa would probably be the bottom team there to maybe go up.
Well, it's interesting because previous to the season starting, me and Danny did a prediction league, and we put Brighton, Newcastle, Sheffield Wednesday, Derby, Norwich, and Brentford in the top six, I believe. The biggest surprise has obviously been Huddersfield this season. Absolutely credit to them, because they sounded like they're the best team we've played this season in terms of like possession football. They sounded brilliant.
Yeah, great. They were a great team. Obviously, I went up there. they were a good team to sort of watch. I'm not sure what their number 10 was called, but he was a really good player.
Moore, is he bold? Moore.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
known from Man City. He's a very good player by the sounds of it. Yeah. I'm intrigued to see them when they come to the City Ground, because last season I thought they were the best team that came to us and Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, they were brilliant. Obviously, two own goals didn't really help us. but yeah, they were a good side, and they thoroughly deserve to win that game. Other teams, this season you got Leeds up there for the first time in God knows how long. You know, would it be good to see Leeds in the Premier League again?
I mean, to be fair to Leeds United, I know they're like a pantomime villain of everyone's, but they've got tremendous support. I give it to them every time. They bring the fans to every game. So, in a way, yes, and in a way, like, no.
Yeah, no, that's it. They seem to be like the most hated team at the same time, as well as being the most loved. It is very strange with Leeds. Obviously, just below that again, you know, in like just outside the playoffs, we've got Derby there. You know, are they? I don't know how they haven't gone up. Their team, they always seem to be there. They always been, you know.
Obviously. I think they bottle it on purpose because they want to play us every year.
Oh, surely.
But with Derby again, I'm surprised they went back to McLaren, but it seems to work for them because they are very good under McLaren. I mean, they've just signed David Nugent, I think, today or yesterday.
That's a great signing, that.
Which is a really good signing. I mean, I'm surprised they shipped out Chris Martin, but he's been banging in goals for Fulham. But to bring Nugent in alongside Darren Bent and Vidra, I think it's a good signing in the Championship.
No, that's it. Down the bottom, obviously, you've got Rotherham, who are pretty much... They're pretty much done, aren't they? They're just having...
We play them soon, and we'll probably give them the boost.
Give them a head start or something. They're obviously down the bottom on 13. You've got Wigan on 19, which, again, they're probably another team that just haven't really got enough to sort of survive in this kind of league. You've got Blackburn, who, I wouldn't say surprisingly, but... You know, a big team that are down there. You've got Burton, who they must have picked up results from the last time I saw the table. But they've got a couple of good players there. They've also got Jamie Ward of ours as well, which we could do with. Mm-hmm. And then you've got us, and in 20th, you know, really struggling, 2 points out, you know, 2 points outside that bottom three. Is there anyone sort of there that you just think, oh, they're going to get out of it, or, you know, they're going to have a good second half?
I mean, it's hard to obviously to predict that because I don't see those teams play every week.
That's it.
But I mean, Wigan beat us obviously at the weekend in the FA Cup, which is a game I don't really count because we're just in a mess at the moment.
Yeah. it's glad that it wasn't in the league in a way, wasn't it? It's almost it's like a free game for us to go and
it
win
was,
and
it
lose.
It was like a free roll. But I mean, Blackburn beat us at their ground, and I think, I don't know, Blackburn have got obviously good, like half decent players, but it's just obviously consistency and picking up points against teams around you. We've got two massive games in the next couple of weeks against Bristol City, who are free for all in.
That's it.
And Rotherham at home, and we've got to beat both those teams. I mean, I think what we've struggled to do this season that we did under Dougie Freeman for quite a lot of last season was make it hard for people. I know we played like really defensive football, but we made it hard for teams.
Yeah, you wouldn't... I think there was only a few, you know, a handful of teams that come to the City Ground and won last year. I can't really remember a team before. I think it was in fact Bristol City who were down there last season. I think they were the first team to come and, you know, beat us in a long time at the City Ground. Yeah. You know, obviously, you say Bristol City are 3-4, and I thought they were much higher than where they are.
I think they've lost about 7 games in a row or something. So, like, us and them are in probably the worst form
that's
ever. So that game is massive, and I just it's going to be a nervous game.
No, that's right. There's, you know, there's 5 points to separate Wolves in 16th, and then the bottom, you know, sort of area, Blackburn obviously being the top of that. So it probably is going to be one team that is going to be in 22nd that's going to go down out of maybe 6 or 7 clubs. So it's going to be a very, very tight one.
I mean, what I know we're touching on Forest quite a lot, but it's probably got to be addressed as the takeover. If we get taken over and John J. Moores comes in and says, "Montagnier, your time is up. Who would you like to bring in?"
100% Gary Rowett. Definitely. He massively overachieved Birmingham, in my opinion. I'm not sure if you agree on that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, all of a sudden, Birmingham can't win. I think, we've got them next, I think. Birmingham, they're one of those teams.
They haven't won in 5 games, Birmingham, since Zola commenced.
That's it, and they don't. I can't really name a player other than Clayton Donaldson and maybe Paul Caddis that they've got. I don't really know Birmingham at all, and that's obviously maybe the problem because I'm saying I'm an absolute nerd and I know everything about the Championship. However, in most teams, I could probably name 4 or 5 players, whereas with Birmingham, I just can't seem to name anyone.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think with Rowett, he had Birmingham very well organised. I mean, I remember him coming in because I think Birmingham had just lost to Bournemouth 8-0.
Yes, that's it.
And Rowett turned them around, got them well up the league. I think they finished like 10th or so at the end of it. I think Rowett is someone that would take us and have a lot to work with in terms of a squad. I think he'd get rid of a lot of crap, bring in a few of his own players to like get us up the league, and I think he'd progress us a little bit. But then I don't know how far he could take us. I think that's what Birmingham's, like the new owners at Birmingham saw, like Rowett was only taking them so far.
Yeah, but weren't they in the playoffs when they got sacked? When he got sacked, you know.
Yeah, something like that. Sixth, seventh, maybe between fifth and seventh.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's ridiculous. but obviously, you've got to take into consideration if we don't, you know, potentially get rid of Montagnier, and obviously those teams down there, they're probably looking to possibly get rid of their manager as well. Who's going to take him? You know, that anyone could. And you might go as far to say he may be guaranteed safety there. Because he's very Dougie Freeman like you said, he's very well organised. He probably sets up to defend more often than not, but can get your goals as well. And obviously, if there's something that we do have going for us this season, is we can score bags of them sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially if Rowett came in and obviously saw that we've got Asamoah Longo and Bentner and even Velios, to say Velios as well, I think he'd probably rub his hands a little bit and go, do you know what, if I can shut up sharp a little bit more, get him a bit more organised if he comes in. The other side to it will probably take care of itself.
That 100%. Anyway, less of Forest because obviously we've gone on a massive tangent there. Like, just so biased, aren't we? World Cup. Obviously, it's been revealed. Was it today or yesterday?
Yeah, something like that.
There's going to be 48 teams in not this World Cup, but in the 2026 World Cup, which is obviously 9 years from now, but it is coming up. They come thick and fast, World Cups. No, if you remember the 2002 one, that doesn't seem to be a million miles ago, but all of a sudden it's 2017. So, yeah, what are your opinions? Obviously, it's been a 32-team system since 98, I believe, maybe even before that. And you've now got three extra space. Well, it has been confirmed. However, obviously, FA, La Liga, I think even the Bundesliga are going to fight against it. I'm not sure why. But yeah, what are your opinions on it? Obviously, you've got three more teams from Europe that are going to be qualified. Four from Africa, which seems a bit of a strange one. And then you've got six automatically qualifying from South America, which means they'd have two qualifying spots, I think. So in total, eight. What are your thoughts?
It's a tough one because obviously there's going to be like, 14 teams of three, I heard. And then I also heard another rule that they wanted to import was if teams draw, they'll go automatically to a penalty shootout. So there's a winner determined within the groups. Now that just says to me, like, teams like Slovenia will go through like they did in the Euro, set up shop to draw and hope to beat teams on penalties. And I could just see it just being like one of those where there'll be a team like that obviously are like miles odds on favourites to not even get out of the groups, and they'll end up winning the thing because they'll just put 10 men behind the ball all the time. I don't know, like, it's a weird one. I think even the World Cup's lost its passion to a certain extent, in some respects, because I think like international football is just not that great anymore. Especially if you're an England fan, I think it's just a little bit dire in all honesty. Yeah. Especially with like what's happened with Allardyce, and then like the Euros they lost to Iceland. It's just, yeah, England have underachieved for a very long time in international tournaments. No. But maybe Scotland might qualify this time.
Maybe, yeah. I must add, I'm not actually English though. So
you're a Wales fan.
I'm a Wales fan or a Welshman.
I'm a Poland fan, so it's fine.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously looking at it from my perspective, obviously from the last European campaign, Wales and Iceland especially, they're massive successes, and you know, they, if realistically, obviously Wales had a really good qualifying campaign for the Euros, but on another year, or maybe even this time round in the World Cup qualifying, we might even qualify this time because of obviously how much harder it is to get in currently. So you've got to take into consideration of that. You know, these teams having really, really sort of wild campaigns in a way. It's obviously Wales getting to the semis, and you know, didn't even show up for the semis. Semis really, and who knows? They could have won it. You've even got, like, I think it was Northern Ireland, who obviously Wales beating in the round of 16. You know, teams like this, you're not going to see in the World Cup. And obviously, this is what FIFA are looking at, is that teams that are smaller, like your Estonias, like your Latvias, you know, obviously we don't want to see them. However, that nation, they've never seen them qualify for a World Cup. So it would be pretty good for those sort of teams, I guess.
And I could just imagine it, though, like, I mean, usually when it's international tournaments, I know who loses out the most, and that's like the wives and girlfriends, because a majority of the time the blokes are just like, football's on now. But like, if it's going to expand to 48 teams, it just means there's going to be more games. Women are going to hate men.
Yeah, we're all just going to have to live on our own. But yeah, no, definitely 100%. It's going to last 32 days, I believe, this particular World Cup, if it obviously, you know, materialises. 32 days is quite a long time. Obviously, I think currently it's around 28 days, so it's an extra 4 days. Doesn't really sound much in the grand scheme of things. However, it's an extra round, I think. So it's more. It's another game.
It's just a bit madness, because especially for like majority of those players that will go to a World Cup or a Euros or whatever, will play in Europe, because obviously Europe's the best region for football. And they would have already had really long seasons. You'd probably guess on the average that most of those players would have already played like 50 games, depending how far they get within like cup competitions, Champions League, Europa League, etc. Are they really going to want to go and play that much more football in the World Cup? But I mean, like, it's also the thing where they were going to do what, Qatar, like have the World Cup in Qatar or something.
Yeah,
I mean, what's your opinion on that? Even like, I know that we're talking off a bit of a tangent, but
no,
winter or something.
I think it's completely relevant in a way, because obviously this 48 teams thing, I think that's a bit much. But obviously you've got a whole world. Obviously, whereas in the Euros it's just European nations. So in a way, I can sort of understand it. Obviously, the Qatar World Cup is going to be played during the winter months. Well, here anyway, during the winter months. You know, obviously it's going to affect the major leagues, isn't it? All leagues, you know, except for the MLS. It wouldn't affect the MLS. It's not a major league, is it? Obviously it says it is, but it isn't. You've got to think, these top players at the moment, they're complaining about not having a break in the winter. Obviously with us in Britain, having 5-6 games over the Christmas period and things like that. What are they going to think about having to play a World Cup, or, you know, even maybe in the future a European Championship in the middle of winter? It seems a bit daft. In my opinion, every 4 years, every 2 years really, for a home nation, it's like, right, okay, it's the Euros, or right, okay, it's the World Cup during the summer. You know, and you go out and enjoy yourself in the pubs with shorts and t-shirt. Like, that just seems to be the thing, right? But maybe not so now.
I mean, like, as well with it getting played during the winter, it might, like, actually give England a chance, because obviously all the other leagues like Spain and Germany, Italy are all used to winter breaks. Maybe, like, because obviously England... the English lads will be still in the flow of, oh, we're playing football during the winter, we'll be all right. it might give England a slight edge.
No, that's it. You know, England need all the advantages they can get, let's say that, eh? Anyway, go on, you were going to say something, go on.
I just think, like, I can't see that World Cup actually happening, though, in Qatar. I could just see people boycotting it. That's
an interesting one. You know what? You're the first person to sort of say, you know what, something might happen in the Qatar World Cup. But you know what? That's not even a bad point. If I wouldn't want to play in 40 degree heat, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, moving on. Last sort of segment. It's quite a long one, this one, for the first attempt. But you know, all fun, eh? So you've got. Well, you haven't. I've got 5 quiz questions for you.
Oh God!
They're all pretty much general knowledge. Obviously, I don't know what your knowledge is. That, you know, how good is it? I don't really know. But gonna fire him away. If you need help, then obviously
general knowledge is this is a football podcast.
General knowledge on football. Let's get that one. Yeah. So right. First question, I've got only two players to score headed hat tricks in the Premier League.
Rondon's one of them because he scored one the other week.
That's it. That's what related to. So I'll give you a bit of a clue on this one because it's quite old. I won't mention the team. However, he's a big guy. Known for his physicality in the late 90s, early 00s.
Right. It's a difficult one.
Scottish.
Oh, Duncan Ferguson.
Yes, that's it. Okay, second one. During the 92 season, so the first season in the Premiership, as it was called then, the two teams to finish second and third that year.
Oh, that's a cracking question. Norwich.
Correct.
Finished second, I think.
Yes.
Third. I'm not sure. Aston Villa.
Yes, bang it. That's a good one, that. Well done. Villa finished second and Norwich finished third. And then obviously in 93, I think Norwich beat Barcelona, if I wasn't not too far out. Anyway, they're both in the Championship now and they're all as bad as us. So anyway, first brothers to captain against each other in the Premier League.
Oh, wow. Neville brothers?
Correct. It's kind of a given, that one, isn't it? You know, I can't really name another set of brothers.
Ferdinand brothers, they'd have played against each other.
True, yes, that's it.
So they're the other two I could have thought of, but yeah. Neville's.
This is a last season question. I've just related them all to the Premier League and I should have gone somewhere else as well. This team last season, they went 15 games unbeaten but did not finish in the top four. Who was it?
Oh, wow. Didn't finish in the top four but went 15 games unbeaten. Oh, tricky. Not even sure, you know. That is a really good one. You like stumped me quite a lot. I'll just hamper a guess at like Everton.
No, I'll give you a bit of a clue. They were managed by two separate managers last season.
Two separate managers?
Yeah. So obviously they had a bit of a stinker at some point.
They must have done, yeah. Honestly, can't think. No, I don't know.
It's Chelsea.
So,
towards the end of the season, they really picked it up. And the final one, I have got a fifth one. I thought I only had four. I got five. Last season, it was quite late on. I'll sort of say that straight away. A referee had to dip into his pocket nine times last season. Nine occasions in one game for one team last season. Can you name the team and can you name the referee?
I'd say Mike Dean was the referee.
No, it wasn't. But he's in the paper a lot lately.
He is. I think he's a Spurs fan at the moment, isn't he? Who's really dirty?
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't have said this team was dirty at all. It just happened to be that game.
That one game?
Yeah.
Swansea?
No, incorrect.
Failed. What was it?
Guess the referee. Go on, you can get the
guess
referee.
Guess the right referee.
Yeah.
So I said Mike Dean. Clattenburg?
Correct. Team was Spurs. It was against Chelsea, I believe.
Oh, is it when they was having fights pretty much every 2 minutes?
That's it, yeah.
That was a mental game.
That was a brilliant game. It just brought back memories of like Roy Keane and Vieira in the early 00s. And I was only a little baby then, but I used to love it. It almost used to be like wrestling in a way. It was fantastic. that's the podcast. That's the first episode done. If you enjoyed it, then obviously leave, what is it, a like rating on the iTunes, whatever it is. Leave a review as well. Obviously, any feedback that we can get is brilliant.
Any other topics to talk about as well?
That's it, yeah. If there's anything you feel like we should talk about, obviously Adam has his YouTube channel as well, so he's a very busy guy. But obviously leave a review. Obviously, leave a thumbs up, whatever it is, anything positive, it'd be brilliant. But obviously any, you know, negative, you know, feedback, obviously we'll take on board as well. It's our first go, so obviously be nice on us. But yeah, thanks very much for all one of you that listened. And we'll see you next week.
See you later.